Okay, Wendy, you ready? We're going to do this?
I think it's time.
We should probably do this then.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. This is Claire.
And I'm Wendy.
And this is
Inside the Box.
We are back with another episode. We're really excited about this one. Kind of. Apparently, I'm allergic to this topic because I've been sneezing my head off for the last half an hour.
It just happens sometimes.
So if I sound really snotty and stuffy, that's why. It's because I'm allergic to the topic we're discussing tonight, which is...
how to start a cult.
That's right. Super helpful.
Like every week, we thought we would just talk about something about which we are experts. We have expert knowledge of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Or we do enough research within the scope of 15 minutes to make us experts.
To be able to talk about it somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is true.
And then share that wisdom with you.
You be the judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is very useful information in today's times.
Who hasn't wanted to start a cult?
When you think about it, you know, times are tough. It's not like we have a whole lot of behavior or examples to look up to.
We need something to believe in.
You need something to believe in when things are going the way that they're going right now.
It's a prime time to start a cult.
Right. And we wouldn't be upset if at the release of this podcast, at least maybe 15, 30, 35 new cults popped up.
What's the harm?
Right.
What could go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong. Well, we'll explore that question. I think that's a good prompt for our podcast today.
So what we'd like to do is talk about what a cult would look like if we started one.
Right. So we want to talk about different elements, step by step, how to start a cult by creating a fake cult that we haven't even discussed yet.
But will it be fake?
Well, we'll find out. It'll depend on how many listeners subscribe after this episode.
All right. So this may or may not be a for real cult.
Right. So what's the first element that we need to consider in creating our cult?
Well, I think if we're going to attract people, we have to have charisma.
Uh-huh.
We have to be charismatic leaders.
Is that plural?
Well, because you and I, unless only one of us is going to be the cult leader, are we going to share it?
Well, I think if anybody's charismatic, it's me.
Okay.
So how do you feel about being a follower?
I think maybe we could be co-leaders. How about I be vice president of the cult?
Okay, I can deal with that. Yeah. Knowing that you're my second-hand person, what do you think are my most charismatic qualities, or what qualities could I develop in order to really create a following?
I think your generosity of letting me be the cult leader would be the first really great trait that you could exhibit.
I think...
and there are others.
I think an important trait of a charismatic leader is sort of discernment and the ability to kind of stick to a plan. Because a cult is all about creating some sort of story and then repeating that message over and over again. I think that's a big part of charisma, is a really simple story that resonates and makes sense and never straying from that. So I worry about, you know, relinquishing the power seat to you as a way of, it might make me seem weak.
But then, okay. All right, so maybe you have your thing going and I splinter and create a second cult.
I like that. A spinoff cult.
And then we're rival cults?
Yes, but really we're in it together, sharing in the profits.
That's beautiful.
This is really smart. So charismatic leader. So I think of your charisma as sort of a...
uh-oh.
Sort of like a skeptical, like people are going to trust you because you clearly have some things to talk about and some wisdom to share, but you're really good at dismissing everybody else who might have wisdom and ideas to share. Kind of like skeptical.
But an asshole.
Not an asshole.
Kind of an asshole. That's what you're describing.
I wouldn't say asshole necessarily, but, you know, You're kind of an asshole, kind of, is I guess what I'm trying to say. But people really like that in a leader. that's a certain kind of charisma.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wow, all right. So I think what makes you really charismatic is how you know everything.
Thank you.
Everything.
That's really nice. I'm glad you noticed. I was wondering if you were aware of that.
Even if you don't know things, you know things.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm just tapping into some kind of universal wisdom.
Or nonsense. Yeah. Or...
Oh.
No, no. It's not that you're a know-it-all. It's just that you know it all.
Okay.
And you act like that.
Uh-huh.
You act as if you know it all. But I'm not saying you're a know-it-all.
So people...
But you look great when you do it.
Thank you. So people are going to like that.
Yeah,
about me.
And I think that's important, is to have a certain look.
Mm-hmm. So I think the shtick could actually work really well in our rival cults, because some people are going to follow me, and then for the people who are, like, skeptical about whether or not I do know it all, which is exactly what you're expressing, will follow you, because they're more into, like, the skeptical asshole vibe.
And they're smarter.
Well, I would say more just skeptical.
Smart.
One more time. Skeptical.
Smarter.
So we could really kind of, this is really a catch-all, I think.
We'll get everybody.
We can get everybody.
It's a wide net.
Yeah. And I'm going to have a really, like, loving, affirming, holistic, adoring, a lot of adoration coming my way, but, like, a very sweet, light vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if your vibe is just, like, unruly, kind of drunk, irreverent, kind of just like messy, kind of like whatever. Cults aren't real. We're not a cult, you know, just kind of like people don't even know what's happening because they don't care.
You're really painting this wonderful picture of me to the
likewise.
World.
Likewise.
So, yeah, all right. I'll be the irreverent one.
Okay.
Because that actually, yeah, that does fit. That part fits.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to say. That's all I meant to say.
Yeah, okay, I believe you. So yeah, I would be, I guess I'd be the bad cop in a way, and you're the good cop.
Right.
And so I'd be the taskmaster, maybe. I would be the one enforcing the laws, the rules of the cult. What would be a good way to enforce?
I always personally think, not that I know anything at all. Get it? Anything at all? Know it all?
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
I always think the best way to enforce rules is to get other people to be the enforcers, personally, you know?
Delegate.
Yeah. Because then you can kind of call the shots, but don't have to take the... You're never disliked.
It's really important to create a hierarchy then.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'll have a group of people who are, like, soldiers who will be the enforcers. And they'll...
Your inner circle, if you will.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm just thinking about like a bike gang, essentially. Like it's going to be
minus the vests.
Yeah, no vests.
We're not going to have vests.
No.
At least we agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we agree on a lot, Wendy.
Do we? Hold your knee.
Okay, so I think we've got our charisma nailed. I mean, I think that's pretty solid. And I love that it's, you know, I think you follow me for a little bit until you can't take it anymore, because that's the whole momentum for you splintering off and bringing probably a large subset of our collective following with you, which is also very exciting. I think people who follow cults really love drama.
Right. And when they see your true colors, it's going to be a given.
Yeah, I mean,
that they want to follow me instead of you.
I mean, it won't be really me doing anything. It's just going to be you putting ideas into their head that I'm not the real deal. Right?
Oh, you think, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to follow me. That's why I'm a good cult leader.
I guess we'll see. We'll see.
We'll find out.
All right. What are some behaviors that we should have that sets us apart from other humans that make us so attractive?
Oh. Well, I'm going to levitate.
Well, I'm jealous now.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I can levitate.
You could crawl.
I know what I'll do. I'll juggle.
That's a good idea.
I don't think anybody's done that yet. A cult leader hasn't juggled.
No.
All right, so I'll juggle and lip gloss.
Lip gloss.
Yep. So it'll look like I have these ethereal, shiny lips all the time that smell of bubble gum.
Wow. And that's just going to be irresistible for people.
People will not be able to tear their eyes away from my lips.
So ultimately, you could do some, like, creepy Big Brother huge screens everywhere of just your mouth.
That could be my logo.
It could be your logo. It could be the way you communicate. You actually don't appear in person. It's just
shiny lips.
This zoom in on your lips.
Yeah.
Oof, that's dark and cool. It's good.
It's also disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to levitate, and when I'm not levitating, which takes an insane amount of focus and is very hard to do if anybody else is in the room, as you know, I will use a Segway scooter to get around. And I think my behavior will be hula hooping.
Hula hooping?
Yep. It's like juggling, but more elegant. And hula hooping on a Segway is going to be really, really something to see. So I'm going to have to practice that.
It's sounding kind of circus-like, this whole cult we're starting.
It is interesting, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. That's all right.
It says something about our interests, our aspirations.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of you being on the Segway because it gives it sort of, you're like, you're gliding.
It's like I'm levitating.
Yeah.
Which I can only do in a closed door with me and the only only one in the room. So yeah, it's like that.
Wow, that's amazing you can do that. I did not know you could do that.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll have the lips.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to fake humility. I'm going to talk a lot about how I'm just like you. I am just like you. While I'm juggling, I'm just like you.
Like me?
Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about me as I'm juggling.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, fake humility. Yeah.
And I think I'll have a special walk.
Oh, like what kind? Like dragging a leg or crawling?
I think it's like step, step, hop. Step, step, hop.
Uh-huh.
Step, step, hop.
Like a leap step, or step, a hop?
No, it's a hop. It's subtle.
It's just like a little upward lift?
Yeah, but it's kind of like it brings me closer to heaven, but still brings me down to earth.
Wow. I like the step, step, hop idea.
And my hope is that others will start to walk in the same way.
Yeah.
Imagine we're in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Me and 25 of my followers, and we're all walking together down the cereal aisle, steps up hop,
steps up hop. I can feel it now. I can see it. It's wonderful. It's glorious.
I'm in front, juggling, lip gloss. Maybe everyone's wearing lip gloss at that point.
Probably.
And capes. You know I'm a fan of capes.
Yeah, we have talked about capes extensively before.
I think they're rather smart.
So yes.
Capes.
Yeah.
I think my cape would be a little bit different because I probably would have some gold trim.
Yeah. Some embellishment.
Yeah. That denotes royalty of some sort.
Yeah.
Or just speaks of my high level of evolution. It's really important that we relay an air of mysticism with our followers.
So you, like, could be born without lips.
No. But
and then...
my lips are my best trait.
Right. But then... And you're praying to some higher power that you gain lips. And when you finally gain the lips...
That's the worst origin story.
They're permanently ever. Lip glossed to no. The scent and shininess of your desire.
I'm not feeling that one. I have an origin story. I would like to have my own origin story. You could have no lips. How's that?
I don't want that one. That one sucks.
See? Yeah, exactly. So my origin story will be that my twin sister gave birth to me when she was 9 years old. I was a different sort of child after that. Unlike other children, I learned how to juggle.
Did you come out juggling?
No. I learned how to juggle very young. It just came naturally. Anything. Pots, pans, rocks, small animals. Juggle all the time. And I could hold conversations. while juggling. It just happened all the time. And then I was struck by lightning 23 times and a Greyhound bus approximately 2 times.
Uh-huh.
My veins are filled with chlorophyll, which is why I can only live in Florida or Belize.
Wow. Yes. That's really good.
This is my origin story. I have special gifts. I have crampathy.
What's that?
It's the ability to feel other people's cramps.
Wow. That's a gift. Indeed.
It is. Crampathy. Here's another gift I have.
Uh-huh.
So I can turn moldy bread into stem cells, which can be used to heal anything or create dinosaurs.
Wow.
So that's the mythology of me.
I gotta say, it's hard to beat that. I'm gonna go with the classic origin story of being orphaned, never knowing my parents, never having family or friends, except for the alien.
I love the alien origin story.
Yeah, it's a classic one. The alien who came into
me and my life on one fateful night.
Sexy.
Yes. And told me about, you know, life after life, about the truth of what happens after we die, and also the truth that we are not human beings, but extraterrestrials living in a shape-shifted format.
Do we have an exoskeleton?
We do not have an exoskeleton. No, I'm sorry. But maybe next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I'd like one.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't, really? It seems very useful. The internal skeleton, on the other hand, it just makes us doughy and prone to injury on the outside.
It's a bad design.
It's not a good design.
Is there a special name that your alien lover goes by?
Inu. Inu Skvathar.
It sounds Scandinavian.
Yes. They are a Scandinavian alien, gender neutral. Inu Skvathar.
Yeah.
Inu Skvathar.
It just rolls off the tongue.
That's what happened last night.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they said.
That's what they said.
Okay.
So my origin story has me alone with this insight and information. Alone except for my alien lover, who is the only person, only being, who has seen me levitate, taught me to levitate, and who remains locked in my chambers at all times.
That's really mysterious and intriguing.
Thank you. But you can understand then why my charisma would be around, in a way, sort of effortlessly bringing people along. Because it's almost like I'm not trying to have a lot of friends. I just have information. I just know it all. I have information that they need and want, and they follow me nonetheless. But a lot of my time is spent in my private chambers, levitating with my alien lover. So appearances are rare, but when I do appear, there's typically a lot of fireworks.
It's like supply and demand.
Right. You got to keep that shit limited.
So people are just craving being around you.
Yeah. It's no chlorophyll or moldy bread, but it's still plausible, I think, just like your origin story.
Yeah, it's very different, that's all. And I think that's good for us to have these different, because we'll appeal to a wider audience.
Yeah, and I think you follow me initially.
Because of the levitation.
Right, which is me you've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Because imagine if I could juggle and levitate.
Right. Whew. That'd be pretty cool.
But I can create dinosaurs.
I mean, does anybody know this about you? Your followers do.
Well, not yet. Well, now that we've said it here on the podcast, people know that I can create dinosaurs from the stem cells.
Of moldy bread.
Yep.
You're going to get a lot of fan mail, I have a feeling.
Like, you know what's cool about the dinosaur thing?
What?
Is I can make miniature ones, like really tiny ones that fit in your pocket.
Wow, really? You can decide how big they are?
Well, yeah, stem cells.
I don't know how those work.
You just tell them what to do.
It seems like they can do anything.
Yep, it's science.
Yeah, it sounds really scientific.
That's important to me as part of this more rational cult that I'm starting. I like the idea of science being a part of it.
Yes, it does sound rational, especially the your birth story.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I'm not going to ask the question I want to ask, which is, was it a vaginal birth?
Yeah, don't ask.
I'm not going to ask.
And yes, it was.
Oh, so gross. <And no. laughs>
So now we can talk about...
our followers?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Systems of control.
Systems of control. An essential step in starting a cult is that you must establish control, and everyone must know you're in control at all times.
Mm-hmm. What's the best way to create a system of control? Dogma.
Dogma.
Yep.
Some sort of transcendent belief system.
And rules that you follow that open the door to transcendence. So if you follow the rules, you get the big prize at the end.
Yes.
Glossy lips.
Glossy lips is the big prize for you.
Yep.
Permanent glossy lips.
Yep.
Right. What are the rules that your followers are going to adhere to?
All right. So I think that my followers would have to, because you've clearly identified me as the harsh taskmaster.
I think you actually took on the taskmaster role yourself. I didn't say anything about taskmastering.
Well.
So just saying.
Okay.
Look in the mirror. Sometimes.
A little revisionist history going on right now.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's okay. It's okay. I'm flexible. So I'm going to make my followers tattoo their worst sin on the backs of their hands in black ink and Helvetica font.
Ooh. Burn.
Followed by a smiley face. An example would be like, I sold meth to middle school kids. Smiley face.
Nice. And how will you use this rule?
Oh, it's just shame.
Just public shame.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Straight up.
It's effective, yeah.
It's a very strong approach.
I borrowed it from Catholicism a little bit.
Uh-huh. Right, the confessions and whatnot. Yeah, I've heard about that.
Only this is public.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And permanent.
Permanent. And there is some levity to it. A little fun thrown in.
Yeah, the smiley face. To me, that's a sign that you have forgiven yourself for your transgression.
That's generous of you.
And it makes a statement. How about you? What do you think your followers should do? What kind of dogma are you wanting in your cult?
I think it's going to be about creating electricity using the human body.
Like farting?
No, not quite. Like turning giant wheels as fast, you know, just sort of factory style. Like there's going to be a big warehouse full of sort of...
Through activity.
Through activity.
I thought you meant internally.
Oh, no. No, it'll be a little bit like a camp, like a factory, a human-powered factory where if they create a certain level of electricity, we're kind of reaching like some huge number of kilowatts that's probably unattainable. But if we can all collectively work together to reach that, which in turn means a lot of money for me from, you know, something to sell the power to the grid, essentially.
Yeah. So it's progressive?
It's progressive.
Pro-environment.
Super pro-environment. Pro-pocketbook for me.
Save the planet.
Yep.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah. So, right. And it keeps everybody busy because they want something to do. So it's really productive, too.
And there's a sense of community because everyone's working together.
Right.
Everyone's a cog.
In the wheel. Literally. Because I'm just imagining giant turnstiles that everybody sort of fits into and just pushes sort of incessantly. It's almost like a Sisyphusian kind of thing. We might even have, you know, mountains on the inside and boulders that you can push up and then back over and somehow use the friction of the boulder on the mountain as a way to, you know, generate some electricity. I don't know. Seems possible. So that's going to be it. And I think they'll probably have to be surgically connected to the wheel somehow.
A la human centipede.
Please do not ever bring that up again.
That would be an interesting cult, though, don't you think?
Nope.
Nope.
Good, yeah, so systems of control. Dogma. You really do have to have some sort of big promise, right? Some sort of, once the dogma is fulfilled, what's the payout here? What's the transcendental benefit?
Eternal orgasm.
Wow. Meaning like never ending?
Exactly. It might ebb and flow a little bit just so you can catch your breath, but It's on all the time for the rest of eternity. You're just getting off.
Do you think people want that?
Yes.
Okay.
Who wouldn't want that?
I mean, don't you think it would be a little, like, exhausting?
Well, when you're dead, there's no
It's after you die.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what heaven is just one giant orgasm.
Nice.
That's
very cool.
It's transcendent. It's evolved.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know if the step-step hop move has something to do with the eternal orgasm. Like, is it training?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it does. If you notice, the step-step hop, your hop would always be on one side, the right side.
Okay.
And we all know that the right side is equated to the feminine.
Right.
And
we do all know that.
And by hopping, you're jostling your right ovary or your right testicle, depending on your biology.
Uh-huh.
And
and just to be clear, you said the word was jostling? Okay.
Well, the hopping.
Right.
Hopping jostles.
Just a little jingleberry there.
Yes, the testes and
the
ovaries. And the jostling, as we all know, creates a friction that creates a pre-orgasmic state. So throughout the course of life, if you have that special walk up till the time that you die, then all of that kinetic energy will explode into an eternal orgasm thereafter.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty straightforward.
It's science.
Yeah. I do really like the science-based nature of your cult.
Thanks.
I think it's really compelling.
Oh, I love facts.
Yes, clearly. Making dinosaurs of facts. Yeah.
Miniature dinosaurs.
So we have our leaders, our charisma, our behaviors, sort of our big promise, and then the rules that people have to adhere to get there.
What about outfits?
Right. That's a key control.
Yeah, because everyone has to, you have to be able to identify what cult you're in by what you're wearing, by your appearance, I should say. So what do you want your cult members to look like?
Well, I'm thinking for me, it's going to look like, so remember my appearances in public are, in the warehouse compound, they're few and far between. And when they do happen, they're almost light show quality. I mean, there's a lot of pyrotechnics. There's a lot of, it's almost like the kind of white light that you imagine it would look like to kind of stare at a nuclear bomb, you know, going off. Like, that kind of sheer, bright, almost static light.
So you don't want any attention brought to you at all?
No. No, I'm really humble. I remember I grew up without friends or family or knowing my identity. So obviously I have no hang-ups around being known.
It's like a halftime show.
Exactly right.
For the Super Bowl.
Every time I walk into the warehouse, yeah. So I think the dress code's going to borrow from that a little bit, and then also borrow a little bit from Inu's native land, which again, remember, is Scandinavian-ish, interplanetary.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm picturing is like very straightforward, white, silvery, tinsel outfits that are both utilitarian and highly sexy.
I like that.
Yeah. And there's probably a little extra flair, unnecessary flair, around the shoulders and such.
I was thinking like a big collar, like
yeah.
A stand-up collar.
Definitely a collar.
Stiff collar.
Mm-hmm. How about you? I mean,
That'd be sharp, yeah.
Thank you. You mentioned a cape.
Yeah, I think the uniform itself will involve tube tops.
Mm. Kind of a little retro vibe? Sorry, was that offensive?
It feels a little dismissive.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you're wearing the tube top right now. I must not have noticed. Anyway, very current, tube tops.
Tube tops.
Uh-huh.
And tube tops and leg warmers.
Uh-huh.
So I want my folks to embrace cylinder-shaped clothing.
Just yeah, like...
tube-shaped clothing.
Yeah. Cool. And that's it.
Well, and then there's the hand tattoos.
I bet that's it. I mean, no other clothing beyond the tube tops and the leg warmers.
Well, they'll have the cape.
Yes. Do your
penis? Well, maybe.
Penis sleeve is a cylinder.
I was thinking more. I was thinking more of. I'd like to incorporate plaid of some sort, so maybe a kilt.
Okay, that's cylindrical.
I love plaid. No, it's in the same vein, but with less elastic.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so we're a good-looking couple of groups here. Are your folks spread out? Are they all concentrated in this same sort of living arena?
What I envision is that we'll take over a Girl Scout camp, and we'll live in the dorms there.
Okay. How will you take it over?
By force.
Wow. That's kind of fucked up.
Well, we're just going to use hand-to-hand combat. We're not going to use weapons because we're more peace-loving than that.
Uh-huh.
But we need a place to stay.
Right.
So we're going to punch little girls.
Uh-huh.
So they leave.
Yeah.
And you said you're going to live in a warehouse?
Yeah. I mean, it'll really be like a subterranean power plant, really.
Subterranean. So, I like that. Like the mole people.
Yeah. It's going to be very cave-like, which is why we need such bright, shiny outfits, obviously, just to... We don't need the sun. We are the sun, kind of. Well, I am the sun, and then by virtue of me being the sun, they get some sunlight.
All right. And what about diet? Is there any special diet that your followers have to adhere to?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be essentially a smoothie concoction IV drip kind of situation, like always.
Oh, so they can continue working?
Yeah, there's not really consumption of food per se.
I could see you having suspended from the ceilings all these IV bags.
Yes, or like just giant cisterns that just sort of plug in. I mean, if people's hands are surgically connected to the wheel that they're pushing, there could be some kind of very straightforward system that's put in place there.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, how about yourself?
I think my folks will eat Jell-O. Well, it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's colorful.
Yeah. That's pretty much all it is. Yeah. Sweet?
Sweet and colorful. It's got a great texture. The green Jell-O is very nutritious. Is it
filling enough, though?
It's versatile.
In what way?
Sometimes, like if you have it for breakfast, you can mix it with milk. My grandmother used to serve that to me.
Are you kidding?
No.
Like chunks of Jell-O?
Yeah. That's Jell-O with
so
milk.
Gross.
It is disgusting. But I think it's a worthy diet to adhere to.
Is there anything else we need to do to create our cults?
No, I think we've pretty much laid it out.
I mean, it's really quite solid.
Yeah, and it's simple.
I suppose the last thing you need is some sort of platform to communicate your true identity and your plan. And lo and behold, we have that too through this podcast.
It's out there now.
People know about it. So yep. You can call us if you want to...
If you want to join our cult.
Yeah.
The ITB cult, which stands for...
Inside the Box.
Or Irritable Transient Bowel.
Or Interterrestrial Banging.
Or Intercontinental Transit Bulimia.
Or Incognito Tortoise Bowl.
Yeah. Or... Irregular thyroid Botox. Now it's just getting silly.
What's next?
Maybe we should start our cult on Facebook.
I wonder if they have that as an option now where you can sign up and do many different things. You can do like pages. You can start like a profile. You can start like an event. And you just start a
I
cult.
Think a Facebook group is actually a cult. Yeah.
So
we can start a Facebook group cult.
Cool. That sounds good. All right, cool.
So that's how you can get a hold of us and, and join the club.
Right. Look for our Facebook group cult.
Are you feeling lost? Misunderstood? Are you plagued with the feeling that something is missing in your life? Well, today is your lucky day. I have just what you're looking for. I've been gifted with the answers to life's great mysteries, and I want to share them with you. For only 25 weekly payments of $7.99.95, we'll send you a contract that, once signed, will open the door to transcendence beyond your wildest dreams. and for a select few, the opportunity to step aboard the USS Sparkle Boat, where you will cruise into new spiritual territory using our patented transport crystal system. I created Scientologism, the fastest growing spiritual technology that combines science and jism to help you explode into pink transcendental evolutionism. Just think, you're only 25 weeks away from your non-disclosure agreement and your first step on the path to transcend evolutionism.
Well, that was fun.
That was a great episode.
Yeah, I'm both excited and disturbed. Just how I want to feel.
I hope you guys are excited and disturbed as well. Thanks for listening.
Remember to tell your friends about our podcast if you enjoy it.
And if you're enjoying it, please give us a good rating.
Yeah, rate us.
Because it helps.
We don't know how, but we hear other people who have podcasts say that it does.
I imagine it helps.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know anything, but we know what other people know.
Yeah.
Which is everything.
And the idea of having 5 stars.
5 whole stars just for us. Feels good.
It does.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again soon with another completely relevant topic.
And helpful.
Always helpful. See you around.
5, 6, 7, go.